Hello and welcome to Zig When They Zag, a podcast for business leaders obsessed with growth. Business owners often end up with a bad taste for marketing because they've tried so many tactics in the past that failed them. One of the reasons why we emphasize doing strategy, then branding, then website, then marketing is because they need each other to be successful, and business leaders need to understand each stage in order to confidently invest in their marketing long term. In this episode, my co-host Kevin Ring and I discuss what happens when things go wrong and why it's important to go in order. Enjoy! Hey, Kevin.
Oh, hey, Jessica. I love that story because there's so much work that goes into working with Facebook. Like, so much work. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's getting harder too, and it's because Facebook's trying to do what they can do to ensure some sort of integrity, but it means that marketers have now like 5-6 layers of things we have to do just to get one thing posted. It's a lot.
Yeah, and drug dealers.
Yeah, we had a client.
She said yes.
We had a client who wanted to launch an ad campaign in November. And we had to talk him into waiting until after the election because it was just too much effort to try to get an ad campaign approved.
Yeah.
That first week of November, it was never going to happen. So
yeah,
it's interesting. Interesting
that
times.
Is interesting.
Anyway, I was just thinking about, you know, we do this, and there's moments where you're like, I'm busy. We're going to record a blogcast. I don't, you know, what's the value? What are we doing here? I have, you know, there's moments of that throughout
like
the process.
The existential.
All the questions that come with creating content and the amount of time it goes into it, right?
Why do I have to talk to Kevin again?
Yeah. But after having recorded our last episode, which just, there's no mystery here. We record several of them during a single sitting, but I just reflecting on, it's nice to have a moment where you step back and you think about topics and you talk about them out loud. It makes you, makes me at least a better communicator with our clients about those topics. It helps me think through some things that maybe I hadn't thought about before. Cause we don't slow down normally. And so
yeah,
it's almost like we get a chance to kind of slow down and think about the big things a little bit. So I appreciate that. Just wanted to say thank you for doing this with me because it's helpful.
I enjoy it. And it's interesting because we were going through our list of topics and, you know, just a little bit behind the scenes for the documentary that we'll do later. We just put ideas down. And so I added all these ideas to Jessica's list and she was reading through them. And she's like, why should I be on Facebook? Why should I be on Instagram? And just like reading it. And she's like, were these ideas or were you just complaining? And I realized that, like, for me, I understand what the topic means, but what's really interesting is where all of these are coming from. So as director of strategy, I am responsible for closing the gap basically between clients and our services. And it's two parts. It's one, it's understanding what we do and making sure that what we do aligns with what success looks like for our clients. And because of that, I walk the client through the whole process. But I also do sales because it's in essence the same thing. I'm closing that gap. And so all of these topics that we're doing all come from questions that we get. Mm-hmm. And the TikTok one is one of my favorite ones because I'm like, I don't know if anyone should do TikTok. Like if you can do that really well, then by all means. But I don't even know where to begin this, how you would, as a B2B company, a service company, incorporate TikTok into what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was thinking through these things, I thought, you know, there's actually a lot of work that goes in on both sides of these things, right? So you see my list and you're just like, why would I do that? Like, what does that mean? I have no context. And it got me thinking, like for marketing, it is really important all of the steps that take place from when an idea happens to actually executing well on it and beyond that. Because one of the other questions that I get all the time is like, well, why can't we just start with Facebook? Or why can't you just start running ads while we're working on the website? Or why do we have to go through the strategy process? So what I thought was, I would love to talk to you and hear from your experience, maybe first. Why does the sequence of what we do matter?
Yeah. Well, I think I want to talk about it from an evolution of our agency's perspective too, because the result of our process and our framework and bringing you on and all of the things we've done in the last few years to change the way we do services is to solve for the problems that came up by doing them differently in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started the company, I had never worked at an agency before, and I was the technician, the business owner, and, you know, I was living the E-Myth nightmare where you do all the things. And
in a garage?
No, but I did have a little IKEA desk in a guest room, you know, like the cheapest one that you could buy too, because I didn't want to invest too much money into this idea yet.
Yeah.
So I got the cheapest desk possible. Anyway, I was working one-on-one with clients and helping them figure out like what they were trying to do with their business and then going and executing on things that I thought we had to do to get them there. Is all trapped in my head and not charging for any of the help part of it. Mm-hmm. And then as you hire people to take over this piece, you know, I started rolling the helping part with the strategy. It just seemed like part of the sales process. And then having to communicate that to people who were doing all the moving pieces down the road. And then you get down a little bit further down the road and realize I'm actually putting in a lot of time and effort for things that are really valuable.
Yeah.
And we should really figure out how to make that something that clients need to pay for, because for me to do it well, instead of being resentful about the process, have them actually, you know, compensate the company for the time and effort that's going into it. Right. And then you have a few clients that come in and you're like, well, we charge for this now. So, oh, you don't want to pay for it? We'll just jump over here and do the right services. And they've never turned out well. There was a couple of things that would happen. One would be we were kind of making up the strategy as we went along, which is a real waste of money for the client. And a lot of extra time that didn't need to be spent on tactical stuff. Because you're like figuring out strategy at a tactical level, it's not going to be executed as well. And then the next thing that would happen would be kind of the lack of education on the client's part, like why we were doing things a certain way or why we were recommending things, because it wasn't tying back to strategy, right? So now we tell clients we'd like to go through the process the right way.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work for you, then maybe this isn't the right fit, you know, because we already know what's going to happen when we skip steps. Yeah. And it's real tempting to skip steps when the prospect you're selling to wants you to skip steps. But we're really trying to pull back and say we have to do something over here to set you up for success and set our team up for success. And so that's kind of where the doing things in order thing came from just an evolution of the agency's services perspective.
No, that's really interesting. It's a really great perspective too, right? Because ultimately it boils down to, I could charge you X to do it right or Y to disappoint you later.
That's right.
And then Z to go and have it fixed by us or someone else. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because, like, for me, I think system, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think business goals, marketing tactics, actual client, you know, prospect experience, sales funnel, sales, like all of this.
Yeah.
But then you think, Neil, can you edit that out just because I gave away the secret sauce?
That's how business works.
I have my MBA, you know. There it is. Clearly. That's the episode. That's the one where it came up. Oh, finally.
Finally. Okay.
But on top of that, you have all of these other factors in consideration, right? Like what's mm-hmm. the service? What's the value? What's the client experience supposed to be like? What's the delivery expectation? What? And I mean, everything affects this. I was thinking about mm-hmm. this at breakfast, which is super nerdy, and I don't apologize for that. But I was thinking, how the heck do you figure out price? Like price, because a little bit of context, I just sold a car. And I way underpriced it and I had no idea. And I had 100 people reach out to me. And like, actually, I got everything from half of what I wanted to $200 above what I asked for. And I was like, this is the weirdest dynamic. I've never had this experience selling a car on Craigslist. I'm used to people being like, I'll give you $3 for it, but you got to drive it to me. And yeah. I, to the point where I was like, okay, listen, I've received this offer. I'm not trying to rip anyone off. If you're really interested in it, like give me more
offer. Yeah.
But it's as is, you have to come get it. It needs work. Like mm-hmm. this is the, and it ended up being a really like easy transaction for me, which is great. But I was thinking about it. I was like, it's so much effort knowing all the things that are going to impact how you do that line of business thing that I so brilliantly laid out for everybody. Masterclass in business right here.
Yeah. These are the steps.
And what happens all the time is marketing is just this like, oh, you need to get on Facebook. Content. You just need content. Like I can't tell you how many courses yeah. I've seen about just like content. Like we'll just get you your content.
Yeah.
Oh, just this, like do this. And I'm like,
there's a million people that call business owners, you know, every day asking them to do SEO or Google ads.
Yeah.
And sometimes they even pretend they're from Google. I guarantee you Google's not calling.
My favorite is I get LinkedIn requests and messages that are all just like, hey, by the way, I'm going to make your life amazing through mm-hmm. our lead gen stuff. I get them from, they're like clearly the same company using the same script. I've had this like three people from the same company send me the same email. And I'm like, it does not build confidence in your service that three different people are all reaching out to me. I had another person who reached out to me and I was actually interested in what they offered. And then I was like, oh, this is interesting. She said, by the way, it's not this. I was like, oh, well, maybe now is not the right time because that doesn't quite fit with what I want. 6 months later, I get another automated message from this person like, hey, are you interested in this? And I was like,
we talked.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah.
Like now I am not interested. Whereas before I was like, oh, maybe, a year from now that will align. Like I will reach back out to you. So what's amazing to me is all of that advice for marketing, right? Like just jump in, just do it. The whole idea of like growth hacking. I don't know if our audience has heard of that. Yeah. I know. I'm like, ugh. Hack is not a positive word. Someone who's a hack is not. Hacking is just chopping away at something. Like, anyway, the whole idea behind it is we're just going to try a bunch of stuff and see what works.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that works is you have companies like Facebook who basically look at their market as, there's between 7 and 8 billion people in the world. This many have computers. This is our market.
Yeah.
We're at billions of people.
Yeah.
And 1% of a billion people is a lot of people, right? So you can have low levels of success and any like percentage that you tweak it up is going to be great. The problem is that most business isn't like that.
No.
There are literally right now, probably at most 1,000 businesses who align to what we need, right? And That's just, they qualify. Yeah. We can solve their problems. We can help them grow. We can, our process can take them to that next level. Mm-hmm. However, they're not all there yet. And so if I just inundate them with, hey, we're amazing. This is right for you. Do it, do it, do it. And do any of that experimentation stuff, I alienate the majority of that group, because I've mm-hmm. actually hurt my brand, right? Yeah. The perception of the value I'm going to get, what I expect before I get it, because I wasted that contact.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's a good model for people, for companies that don't care about their brand reputation and mm-hmm. don't expect the customer to stay on for a very long time.
Yeah.
They're very interested in short-term gains.
Yeah.
And not a reputation or a long-standing brand that they're trying to build. So.
And it works for some business models. An unbounded total addressable market, like your marginal cost is mm-hmm. zero, which means that you can spend money on marketing. However, for people who are doing commercial flooring in three markets, mm-hmm. you cannot afford to do anything detrimental to the expectation, the brand mm-hmm. of what it is that you would do. So high level.
Yeah.
It is very important that you treat marketing not like, oh, I can just play around with this.
Yeah.
Well, so that's that, one.
I would say too, there's companies that are growing quickly and they want to do marketing, and we had an episode about this where they kind of decide whether or not they need to hire an in-house person or go with an outside company. Mm-hmm. And I think there's the businesses that lean towards hiring kind of an entry-level or mid-level marketer to come in and kind of take care of these things. They often miss the layers of strategy planning and discovery and long-term growth things that go into doing marketing well.
Yeah.
They set that poor employee up to fail, because down the road, that employee is being held accountable for things that they didn't know or understand.
They didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And the, you know, the owner, or the operator of this, you know, growing business now has a distaste for marketing because they don't think that it works. And I just think that's nuts, you know, that happens, but it happens all the time. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. All over the city.
it'd be like hiring a nanny mm-hmm. and not actually talking to them about any of your parenting goals, not letting them have access to the kitchen. Like,
well, and I,
why are my kids running feral through the hallways?
Yeah. Wow. And I think about the, you know, for us, we hire an outside financial company to help with strategy and planning and all this stuff. So it's, you know, it's like hiring a bookkeeper and asking him to do that stuff down the road when somehow the bookkeeping didn't grow the business or give you the financial strategy you were hoping for,
yeah.
or the reporting you were hoping for. You know, it's a tactical thing that people end up doing without addressing anything in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's tricky, yeah. and it seems like it's an easier concept to grasp with other areas of business, except for the marketing stuff, because of how much they get inundated with those messages.
And I think that is where marketers don't do themselves the service. I think our industry is very much about attention, not about communicating value. So I think that's good. So just to kind of catch us up, we're, mm-hmm. you know, one of the reasons why it's important is because the strategy is going to define success. And so if we circumvent our process, then we're going to miss something. They're going to miss something. They're not going to understand why we're doing something. It leads to just cost of mm-hmm. not being able to be on the same page and see the results that they need. So that's mm-hmm. one. I think two is you can't afford it. It's too risky for mm-hmm. your audience and for your brand. for most businesses to haphazardly approach marketing. Mm-hmm. For me, there's a couple other reasons. And another main one is these things work together, right?
Yeah.
So have you seen the movie The Social Dilemma?
No.
Okay. Don't watch it if you want to feel good about digital marketing and about social media and all that stuff.
I think I watched one episode and I was like, I know all of this already. I understand that other people don't.
Yeah.
I do.
So
I was like, I don't need to watch the rest of it.
I think it's a really helpful piece. I think people could, you know, overswing in terms of interpreting it. One of the things that stood out to me is one of the advocates for just awareness of the impact that social media specifically has on culture. He said, people think these tools are about attention. It's like, if we can get attention, then that's good. He said, no, they're about changing behavior. And for me, that was one of those light bulb moments, because I thought, that's 100% true. Any interaction that you have is meant to hopefully turn someone towards some other choice, some other behavior, right?
Yeah.
And but the problem is that's not inherently bad. Like, that's how being in community, being with other people works. You can't just walk around bumping into each other, you know, sharing information and not work towards aligning and changing behavior and get nothing we get done.
Yeah.
So in business particularly, that's not a bad concept. That's what marketing is. It is literally about, what are all the things that need to take place to align someone's behavior towards engaging you as a customer? Like, that's the goal, right?
Yeah. Oh, and is that a short-term process or a long-term process?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's not. It's so...
It takes time.
It takes time. It just varies. Like, you know, people, it differs. I buy soda once a week. I don't buy houses once a week. I don't buy cars once a week. Like, it just changed. Like, I only work on house stuff when I buy a house, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know the service provider if something goes wrong, but I don't know when I'm going to need that. And he doesn't know when I'm going to need that. I don't know when I'm going to need that plumber to come out, but I know who I'm going to call because of
the interaction,
the interactions and the effort. And that's how complex the system is. And so for us, one of the things that really is important in that education piece, right? Helping our clients not only put the marketing in place that's going to drive revenue in their next stage of growth, but enabling them to lead in that. So with that understanding, answering their questions, giving them the confidence, the importance of the sequence that we do things is critical. And the easiest way to understand this is your website.
Mm-hmm.
Most internet digital action that we do through marketing funnels through a website.
Right.
It's the hub. It's either the point at which someone's going to make contact, or it's a key point at which they're going to decide to make contact. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you think about ordering food at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it offline. You think about the brands that you know, the types of food that you want, the experience that you have. And then currently, especially now, you order online or you go to the restaurant. Well, you're still going at some point online to find some information about the restaurant.
Yeah, the menu,
the ordering, the phone number, the location. It's the hub. Right. And it's the critical hub for that moment when they go from being audience to a lead, if you will. They're not a client yet, but they've started the process. Everything that we do in marketing, search engine optimization, marketing automation, you know, digital advertising, all these things move people in a progression to that hub. Right. Because our goal is to enable you to do the sale. It's enable you to sell them that value, to close the deal, right? If your website sucks, they're going to leave.
Yeah, all of that would have been for nothing. They just drop off the map and you're not going to get them back, unfortunately. Yeah.
So if we're recommending, hey, listen, if we can get 1,000 people to download this and then we can send them these emails and we expect about 30% of that to open the emails, and then we expect 10% of that to click on it, and we expect another 2% of that to get through the page to actually take that next step, right? All of these things, to have that drop off because of the bad website it's all for naught.
Yeah.
Or worst case scenario, we put the website in place and your marketing team hasn't actually talked to you about how your sales work. And so now you just have
hose
of people showing up and you're like,
I didn't know.
Yeah. And so for us, we don't ever want to be in a position, and I'd say this, like, I'm inviting them to your party and I'm going to get them there and they're going to know what to expect and they're going to have a great time. And that's all you have to do is you just have to throw a great party. You have to deliver the value that you deliver.
Yeah.
I can't have them show up and have the lights be out and the door locked.
Yeah.
And so for us, our process is meant with that goal in mind. That's actually one of our core values. In addition to fun, is to start. Fun is not a value, but it is encompassing of how we do our work. So much so that I'm lobbying for it to be officially a value. Starting with the goal in mind. Posters have
already been printed. We're not changing anything.
For us means, what is that experience going to be? What is that value that we want them to experience and want you to see it that way, so that we then work towards all of the pieces that go into that experience? Mm-hmm. Building a website, there's four elements that we plan out before we actually start building a website. What's the content? What's the structure? What's the information structure? What's the user experience and interface going to be like? What is the design elements? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of planning and generative work. Like, you can maybe take some shortcuts and kind of do some stuff based on hunches, but could you imagine, like, you're a $10 million company and your task is to grow to 20 million in the next 5 years. And so you hire two people, one to do the marketing, one to do the website. And you're just like, get us there.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Man.
I would say, you know, we use that house analogy. You used a party analogy, but we use that house analogy quite a bit.
House party.
We talk about. Yeah. But it is, it's true. Like, there's different elements to a website and how that person interacts inside that house. Do they know where to go? Does it look the way they expected it to look?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you leave, right? You show up to a house, the party's, the theme, you're not dressed for the right party.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that goes into it because the house is built. You have to map it. You have to make sure people know how to get there. You know, there's just a lot that goes into, if you were kind of building an infrastructure of traffic to house from scratch, there's a lot that goes into it and you have to plan it. You can't just slap it together. It's like slapping together a neighborhood or a city. You're just like, we'll just build you know what? Let's just put it here. People will figure it out.
And so do you, for our audience in Austin, do you want your business to be the I-35 of your industry?
That's right.
No.
No.
It's funny though, the party analogy. I have a buddy who a couple years ago in San Diego went to a party, and I forget specifically where the miscommunication was, but it was around Halloween. And so it was a dress up party.
Yeah.
That's what it was. The phrase was dress up party. So he and his wife show up in like full barbarian attire, like fur vest, like fur hat, like loincloth, fur boots, like axes, like well done costumes. This is San Diego, right? So home, like near a big Navy base, you have these guys in their like naval blue dress ups with like their ribbons and their medals, and like the women are dressed up like all fancy. And so every other person at this party is wearing formal attire, dress up, and they're dressed as barbarians. And they're the kind of people that like, it's perfect that it happened to them because they just rolled with it. And yeah, it's a memory that they have. But yeah, that's it. And so if we don't walk through that process of defining out, we just need to know, like, it's yeah, just all of that consideration. Mm-hmm. So that when you're stuck trying to get Facebook to approve a stupid ad, we can problem solve that for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, I mean, even just like looking at it, because that's so down at the end of the road now, you know, you're spending 4 hours of your day on the phone with Facebook trying to get an ad approved. Wouldn't it suck if you did that and you weren't confident that that was the ad you should be running anyway? Right? You'd give up. You'd just be like, you know what? I was just going to try this thing and see if it worked. I don't want to put in the effort to get it approved.
Yeah.
You know, and then again, bad taste in your mouth for the whole situation.
Yeah.
But you have to go into some of those headaches knowing it's worth it because you'd figured all of this stuff out previously.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. Also, that would make a great sitcom. Someone who's just like a Dilbert-esque thing, but his job is literally just doing mundane work, and then it always just doesn't work out. And he's like, oh, well. I would enjoy that because that actually doesn't happen here. We have really great outcomes. And being on the upfront part of projects, I love it because our team is fantastic and they do amazing work. And I always get to be like, holy crap, you guys did that.
Yeah.
And the client loves it. And it's just, it's neat. It's neat, but it's a lot of work. So
yeah. And it's not without its headaches down the road. But if that client is educated and has been going through the journey with us, they sympathize and empathize and they work with us on those headaches instead of against us, which is the ideal situation.
For sure. Yeah. So if anything, when you're investing in marketing, invest in marketing that will move you forward, not just marketing that will get your name out there, because it's one, really expensive, two, hard to recover from. And three, I don't have a third point. I just wanted to rule of threes. Anyway, great episode, Jessica. Now's the part where we remind our listeners that you can also download these on podcast.
Yeah, we're in the Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, and Buzzsprout. I didn't mention it last time, but lots, almost everywhere you can get a podcast, we're there now.
So if you're tired like we are of watching Zoom videos, but you still want to hear our witty banter and my efforts to get Jessica to giggle uncontrollably, check us out on podcast form.
There you go. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Jessica. Great chatting with you.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on our website at hotdogmarketing.net/zigzag. You'll find more information and you can watch the video series there. You can tweet me anytime at Jessica_markets. Rate us and find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again.
When I listed the DVDs on our neighborhood Facebook group, Facebook rejected the listing because I think they thought I was trying to sell drugs.
So, oh my God, this is going to be the best B-roll for bloopers.
So I went back and I had
especially when Neil doesn't give context at all. He like just cuts it up. It's like, Facebook thinks I'm selling drugs.
I had to go back and tell Facebook that it was a TV show and that just because it's called Narcos doesn't mean I'm selling drugs. drugs. Anyway.
What's TV show code for?
Yeah.
Thank you.